Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm twice as nice. And I'm going to stick to his butt like white old rice. That's right.
Just.
There's never been and never will be.
No.
Anyone like Muhammad Ali.
No. Just not even close as far as his impact. Just not only just the way he fought and his way with words, but just what he meant and how he continued.
He changed the world
in
a lot of ways.
He did. I heard someone on the radio saying something about ESPN's list. Or no, it was on SportsCenter last night. They were saying Sports Century. They said the greatest athletes of the 20th century were Babe Ruth, Michael Jordan, and Muhammad Ali. I don't see how Muhammad Ali is not at the top of any list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Michael Jordan changed things, no doubt, but not in the civil rights movement, nor did Babe Ruth.
When you combine outside of the sports arena with the sports arena, there just is not, there's not another person. And I may be wrong in how I'm phrasing this, but I think that other than Jesus Christ, he has the most things written about him in the history of the world. And was the most recognizable person in the world. Some study done.
Yeah.
The whole world. Muhammad Ali. Everyone knows Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. Well, he traveled the world.
Yeah.
If you've been up late like I was looking at YouTube, just watching some of the old stuff and hearing some of the things he said, because you and I, Mary Jo, we're not.
We don't remember when it was happening.
Yeah, we weren't of age then. I think about when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, I would have been 9 or 10, something like that. So I don't remember him that way. I remember him in retrospect. And just some of the things he said, he was just the way he spoke, obviously, away with words, but just the way he thought. The way his mind worked. And then earlier on with Darianoka here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, you heard him with Jesse Jackson. And Jesse Jackson talking about how athletes back in the 60s, black athletes, learned to adjust the way black people learned to adjust to having to sit in the back of the bus or stay in a different hotel. They would just learn to adjust rather than resist. And athletes would learn to adjust for fear that the opportunity wouldn't exist for them to continue doing what they're doing. And Muhammad Ali risked it all. He did not care. He was going to stand up for what he believed in with Martin Luther King, with Jesse Jackson at the time. I mean, he had to be hated.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that they denied him a boxing license in every state in this country. He had to go to, like, London to fight. And then to say, I'm not fighting in your war. I am not fighting for this country. Imagine the hatred, even in today's climate.
Mm-hmm.
Take away, you could take away skin color. You say something like that today.
Yeah.
But without him, somebody else would have had to. I mean, he had to be one of the ones to lead the way, and he did. It's just remarkable. And then for the last 32 years, battling Parkinson's, he could have easily just said, it's too much,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And stopped appearing in public and all that. I will never forget, one of my memories of him is at the 96 Olympic Games.
Mm, yeah.
When he lit the torch.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd been battling Parkinson's And it just, I mean, goosebumps, just an emotional thing because, you know, not only were you, did you know he was the greatest of all time, you also were watching this disease, you know, take something away from him, but it didn't take everything away from him because he didn't stop speaking out for what he believed in, helping people where he could, all that stuff. I mean, that Parkinson's didn't stop him from that at all.
It's such a contrast of the way he lived his life after boxing retirement, with so much love and the idealism of spreading that and giving and helping, whereas his persona as a boxer was brash and cocky and super bad.
Mm-hmm.
He beat you down and let you know, and then was defiant against the way America was, but was still filled with so much love and kindness.
And he's a Kentucky boy.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I mean, Eric Crawford from the WDRB has a great article, a great story on today about how no matter what ever happened, he always came home. He always came back to Louisville.
Yeah.
After wins, after losses, after everything, Louisville was always his home. So we are going to get to more talk about the champ during the day. And if you've got memories that you want to share, or, you know, we were just talking, like, we're not supposed to get autographs from sports people or famous athletes that we, you know, that we've ever interviewed or talked to or whatever. Muhammad Ali's the one exception. Every single person I ever knew covering sports was like, well, if I see Muhammad Ali, I'm getting a picture with that, with him, you know.
And we're talking about the real ethical ones, because I can tell you I have autographs from many different people.
Right.
And, and your Brett Favre story trumps everything.
Right.
So.
And I have Randall Cobb stuff, for God's sakes.
So, not the, us, but, you know, the real strict ones, people, the ones that
the
live it by the book.
Yeah.
I mean, I just sometimes couldn't, like, Hank Aaron is one.
But how do you not get that?
Yeah, I had to. I mean, he was there.
He's Hammer and Hank.
He was signing balls for kids in a schoolhouse, and I was there covering that. What's my arm reaching out with a baseball going to do? And one more little stroke of the pen. But yes, more.
But we do have a really cool opportunity today that we need to get to that Dan has arranged.
Yes, we'll get to Muhammad Ali without a doubt. Much more on him and spend the better part of the show discussing him, and take your calls at 381-1313. But next, coming up, we have Aphrodite Jones. I mean, she is a national star. She has a TV show on Investigation Discovery that's called True Crime with Aphrodite Jones. She's an 8-time best-selling author of true crime books.
She's been on. She's been everywhere, though. She's been on Fox News, on CNN, on MSNBC, always as a crime expert.
She's had two books that were turned into movies, like her book All She Wanted, transformed into the Oscar-winning film Boys Don't Cry. Hilary Swank's career was launched by that movie.
Yeah, she won the Oscar for it.
But The FBI Killer was the book that made her. That was her first book that launched Aphrodite Jones' career. That book was written about the FBI agent who killed his pregnant lover. And so that movie, or a movie about that case, is being filmed here in Kentucky. They started filming it, a couple weeks ago in Bourbon County, and going to film in Fayette County, and then also in Harlan. And so I've had a couple friends who were extras. Did you know anybody that was an extra?
No.
But people went up there to Bourbon County and were extras in the movie. So that's going to be pretty cool. But the story is so compelling that Aphrodite Jones' book, The FBI Killer, a movie was made about that, called Betrayed by Love, and that was starred Patricia Arquette and Steven Weber. It was like an ABC movie of the week back when The FBI Killer came out in the early 90s, mid-90s. So then another guy wrote a book. His name is Joe Sharkey, former Wall Street Journal editor, and that book is called Above Suspicion, and that's what this movie currently being filmed is based on, that book. Because the books are both about the same case, two different perspectives. Above Suspicion tells it from the FBI agent's perspective, and tries to get you to sympathize with the FBI. Put yourself in his shoes and develops the character in a way that you could sympathize.
Yes.
Whereas Aphrodite Jones' book, The FBI Killer, takes it from the perspective of Susan Daniels Smith, the young woman who was murdered, pregnant woman murdered. And so, Aphrodite, by the way, doesn't like that the other book takes that other perspective. So she's going to be a little fiery on this show about this topic. But let's, before we get her on here, we're going to call her next and we're going to have her up here in just a few minutes. But let's get into the story itself. Here, the reason she wrote the story, by the way, she was a professor at Pikeville College. I mean, she started out as a teacher, a professor at Pikeville College from 1988 to 90. 89 is when Mark Putnam killed this woman.
Yes.
Then Aphrodite Jones came to Cumberland College from 1990 to 94, and I had her for English Lit. So when I reached out, she's like, great to hear from you, Daniel. Yes, I remember, and yes, I'll come on the show. So I spoke with her yesterday. So here's the deal on, if you don't know the story, I mean, it's been out since 1989, but... To quickly remind you, because we're about to get into it, and the movie is being made right now about it, but FBI agent Mark Putnam, a married father of two, his first assignment straight out of the FBI Academy in Pikeville, he develops an informant named Susan Daniels Smith. She's a 27-year-old divorced mother of two young kids, and he is getting information from her about the crimes of her ex-husband and his associates. So Putnam and Smith have a two-year affair, and he gets her pregnant. And then Smith threatens to blow the lid off the whole thing, the affair and the pregnancy. And Putnam becomes enraged and strangles to death his pregnant lover on June 8th, 1989, and then drives around with her in his rental car for a day before dumping her naked body, naked pregnant body, into a ravine. Now, the investigation does not focus on Putnam as a suspect, although Smith's sister and an FBI agent provided state police with some evidence pointing to Putnam. They didn't go after him. So after covering up his crime for a year, they ask him to take a polygraph, Putnam. He fails the polygraph test and then confesses, claiming he was tortured by guilt and becomes the first FBI agent ever to be convicted of homicide. So Putnam pleads to a manslaughter charge and serves 10 years of a 16-year sentence. He was released from prison in 2000. Putnam's wife dies from liver failure brought on by alcoholism while he's in prison. Okay, so you see where the sympathy for maybe Putnam comes
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm. That's at least his whole family.
Right,
yeah.
His whole family. And Putnam was released from prison in 2000. He currently works as a personal trainer for an orthopedic surgeon practice in Florida.
Here's where the sympathy ends for me. He's
yes.
currently working as a personal trainer for an orthopedic surgeon in Florida, while Susan Daniels' kids have, or Susan Smith's kids have no mom.
The sympathy ends for me with, I cheated on my wife with this woman, got her pregnant. She was going to tell, and I killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Story over.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, his wife and family stood by him. His wife's parents stood by him. His wife's mother or father called him a good man when he was leaving prison. Which, look, day Muhammad Ali dies, he was very religious. I believe in second chances. I believe you, obviously, you can be redeemed and you can change your life. And he may have. But that doesn't negate what you did.
Yes.
You know, there's still an effect there. So I think, and we'll hear this from Aphrodite, but I believe the perspective from her is that this Susan Daniels Smith, a hillbilly, she's from Tug Valley. That's Hatfields and McCoy's country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's even related to one of the Hatfields, I believe. She was. And if you've ever lived in Eastern Kentucky or been there enough, I mean, you know what it's like. And so when you're poor, she was on welfare. you don't mean as much. You know, there's the movement we have right now, Black Lives Matter. Well, those lives in Eastern Kentucky, some of them don't seem to matter. And I think that's kind of the way this was seen, was she's trashy, sleeps around. Whose baby is it anyway? You sure it's mine? I'm just using you to get to your husband anyway, to find out what he's been doing to further my career and put him behind bars. And so I think that's where Aphrodite Jones is coming from. They did not value human life in this situation. And the other side of it is this woman manipulated the FBI agent and put him in this situation. All right, so we're going to call Aphrodite Jones and talk to her next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Two chains, got your
girl on the silly, and when I get the Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Ride rough, ride tough.
MLS Power Sports, Central Kentucky's only premier Arctic Cat dealer and one of the highest volume pre-owned power sports stores in the Southeast. MLS Power Sports offers service on all major brand motorcycles, dirt bikes, ATVs, and side-by-sides. Looking to accessorize your ATV? You can find it all at MLS Power Sports. Stop by anytime, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Meet the friendly, experienced staff that will enjoy serving you. For more information, check out MLSPowerSports.com.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Come to Hooters for 5 seafood choices under $10, featuring Baja Fish Tacos, Buffalo Shrimp, and our latest, New Orleans Shrimp. For a better taste of the beach, you'd have to rent a beachfront condo. Good luck finding one for under $10. Hooters.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem, we can fix that.
No matter if your vehicle is personal or business, Fleet Doc will take care of it with a 24-month nationwide guarantee on all parts and labor as a TechNet professional member. Even complimentary roadside assistance is available should you break down. Fleet Doc has everything to be your trusted vehicle doctor.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bingo, bingo!
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
Your new job is waiting. Wait. Your new career is waiting. Aramark.
Aramark, a world leader in providing professional services, is now accepting applications for accounts receivable specialists, customer service representatives, and cash application specialists at their shared services center located in Lexington, Kentucky. Aramark offers excellent benefits, paid time off, and more.
Visit aramark.com/careers to learn more. Aramark. We enrich and nourish lives every day. A background check is required for these positions. Aramark is an equal opportunity employer.
Don't take chances with your fine clothing. Come to Emperor's Cleaners and have your clothes treated like royalty. Emperor's Cleaners will make you look good every day. Or for special occasions, Emperor's Cleaners also preserves wedding gowns to make them look as good as new. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in leather cleaning, shirt laundry, custom work, and alterations. You'll find them in the Idle Hour Shopping Center on Richmond Road. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 until 3. Emperor's Cleaners treats you and your clothes like royalty.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
All right, we are so pleased to have with us this morning a former professor of mine, but more importantly, a star in the world of true crime reporting, Aphrodite Jones, the host of and executive producer of True Crime with Aphrodite Jones on Investigative Discovery Channel. Professor Jones, thank you for making time for us this morning.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, listen, let me just tell you quickly about how I know Aphrodite Jones. Williamsburg, 1990, let's say. I'm a high schooler, teenager. And in walks Aphrodite Jones into Williamsburg, smoking hot, big sunglasses, movie star look to her, and she is turning us teenage heads left and right. I can remember doing a double take a couple times. Oh, there she is. But she was my English lit professor at Cumberland College, and I did well in that class. Paid attention.
Well. You know, I had some student admirers, but I had no idea that I turned any heads, honestly. I was very serious and dedicated, if you recall.
I was
a pretty stern professor.
Absolutely. And she's also the reason why I read Death of a Salesman and wrote a paper on it, and that story stuck with me, just the lesson it teaches, and still true today. But let's get to the real reason we have her on this show today, is they are making a movie here in Kentucky. And filming began last week or 2 weeks ago in Bourbon County and will continue in Fayette County and also Harlan. And the movie is called Above Suspicion, and it is based on the book Above Suspicion, which was written by Joe Sharkey. But your book, The FBI Killer, came out first and tells the story in a different way.
Exactly. You know, I went back, Dan, and I looked at a tape from 1994 with myself and Joe Sharkey on the Maury Povich show. And also on that show was Mark Putnam's wife, Kathy Putnam, and Mark Putnam via satellite from the prison, the federal prison he was in at the time. And I watched the show with horror because I remembered it, but I wanted to really quote from it why this is so different. And to see that the book that I wrote about Susan Smith, you have to realize, because I lived in Pikeville and then in Williamsburg, I was very beholden to the people there. I understood the plight of the people there, especially in Pikeville, where they weren't really treated with the respect by the country, and they still aren't. You know, there's still this taboo mystique about hillbillies that, when Susan Smith went missing, it was not paid attention to, and her sister had to raise high holy hell with the prosecution and say, look, I'm going to go to Geraldo, and that's at that time was the biggest guy in the media. Yeah. I will go to him, she said, if you don't do something about finding what happened to my sister. And that was Shelby Ward, who was also on that Maury show with me. And, the thing is about this story is that the Above Suspicion book writes the story from the perspective that Mark Putnam was a man of honor who went forward and gave them her body and gave himself up in order to, relieve his conscience of the murder that he committed. Well, not so much, because this murder was committed in 1989. She was missing for an entire year. It wasn't until 1990 that Mark Putnam cut a sweetheart of a deal and got a manslaughter plea. This is the first FBI agent ever to be convicted of a homicide. He got a sentence of only 16 years. He didn't have to serve the entire 16 years. And then he has the audacity to come on via satellite from behind bars in the federal prison, Dan. And what does he say? He says that he decided to do damage control, to do what he could to salvage the rest of his life, even though he rode around for 19 hours with her body in the car, driving around Lexington and driving all over the state, not knowing maybe he should turn himself in. That's a bunch of malarkey, I will tell you right now. And the fact that this book is celebrating him, and the fact that this book and this movie is going to put him out as a hero, when he was driving around with a pregnant and decomposed woman in a hot trunk of a car for 19 hours, all right? I mean, he says he was disgusted with himself, and he did have some kind of conscience because, rightfully so, had he not led the authorities to her body, there wouldn't have been a case because she was a missing person and there was no witness, there was no evidence. However, the FBI was on to him, and they had done a polygraph of him, and there were 10 agents on him, and he failed that polygraph. And what he fails to say is that, he was shown a pair of his gym shorts. I would interview those FBI agents. He was shown a pair of his gym shorts that Susan was wearing. And when he saw those green, army green gym shorts, his face dropped. And they could see he was failing that polygraph. And they could see that the reality was Susan Smith's sister had a positive pregnancy test result. And that result was in a paper in her hands. Mm. So, my book was attacked as being completely out of context and that, you know, there was no attempt by the FBI or the government to cover this up. Well, maybe not an attempt by the FBI agency to cover this up, but believe me, his partner, Ron Poole, Agent Ron Poole, definitely was involved in this. He's the one who removed all of Susan Smith's clothes from the Landmark Motel in Pikeville. You know, there's a lot to this story, and the fact that he failed the polygraph and thought there was more information that the FBI had. He claims that he just reached over, and in an argument, he grabbed her by the neck, and she wound up slumping over and dying. This is what he said on national TV. Guess what, Dan? Her foot broke the windshield of that car.
Yeah.
Now, you're telling me that he didn't strangle the life out of her?
Absolutely.
But yet, he argues and says in a calm voice that, oh, you're right. The windshield did break, but that was something that I told the FBI. I gave them that information. He gave it to them because he thought they knew already. All right?
So it wasn't an attack of conscience. It was, oh, my God, they got me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, he says that, you know, he's the show and the book is sympathetic to Putnam. All right? And that, you know, sympathetic to him and his family, that, you know, they were put out of their element and they were trying to help Susan. No, they weren't trying to help Susan Smith. They wanted to get out of Pikeville. Kathy Putnam hated it there, which, understandably, it was a hard place to live for somebody that's out of the...
Yeah, if you're from the Northeast, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I lived there too, and I was in culture shock, believe me. But she wanted out of there so badly that the two of them worked Susan Smith to trap bank robbers, which happened. The bank robber, one of them named Cat Eyes Lockhart, his nickname. And those entrapments, those arrests, allowed Mark Putnam to move up the ranks and go move to Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
You know, and so here they are. This book tells the story from the Putnam's perspective, again, to elicit sympathy for a cold-blooded murderer. And, you know, they argue that nothing was substantiated in my book whatsoever. Guess what? And that Mark gave himself up. Guess what? You know what? My book was substantiated. I interviewed Jim Huggins of the FBI, who was ahead of the investigation. I interviewed the Kentucky State Police. I interviewed the West Virginia State Police. I did my job thoroughly. And the only people I wasn't able to talk to was Mark Putnam and his wife, Kathy, because they had their own book deal with Joe Sharkey, and they were getting remunerated. They were getting paid for that, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Okay? And they didn't want anything to do with me because Joe Sharkey was a big deal New York Times writer, and I was a nobody. And Sharkey came on that Montel Williams show and had the balls to say to me that I never talked to anyone, that I wasn't an anybody, and that I didn't know what I was talking about. But beyond that, this is something that Sharkey said, and I'm going to quote it. Susan worked as a prostitute.
That's what
and
I want
Mark
to...
Mark Putnam held back and said, I don't know anything about that. This is what Sharkey presented on national TV, okay? This is what Sharkey wanted to say about Susan Daniels Smith, a woman who died and was left over a hillside like an animal.
Yeah.
A mother.
Yeah, I want to get to that a little bit.
A mother of two children who were left without a mother, okay? And a woman who helped him trap bank robbers. Now, granted, she made the age-old mistake of getting pregnant and trying to trap him into marriage, and she did threaten him, if you don't leave your wife and marry me, I'm going to go to the FBI, I'm going to go to your wife, I'm going to go to everybody and give you up. He knew she was pregnant and admitted to it. He knew she was pregnant months prior. He knew it. He came to Kentucky from Florida. And let me tell you something, guys. He says that it was an act of rage. I say it was possibly premeditated. I would bet my life on it because you know what? He knew he had to get rid of the problem. She was not going to shut up. She was going to have that baby. She was going to go to the authorities. She was going to prove through DNA that he was the father. And at the end of the day, he was going to lose his career, his beloved career. He came in to Lexington, Kentucky in a rental car. He left out of Huntington, West Virginia. Why did he do that? Because obviously he was driving around with the body in the trunk for 19 months. He admitted that.
Now, he goes to the hotel. Why does he leave the hotel and drive out into, you know, the country?
Oh, right. Right. He drove out into the middle of nowhere, and he says, oh, that just, we just were in an argument. We just decided to take a drive. No, they didn't decide to take a drive. Her handbag, all of her belongings were left in that hotel.
Yeah.
And who cleaned it up? His partner, Agent Ron Poole. Now, the reason I know about all that is I interviewed the maid who worked in that hotel, in the Landmark Hotel.
Yeah.
She told me all about what she saw there and what she found there.
Yeah. I want to get to something with we're talking with Aphrodite Jones on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The idea that being from Pikeville and being a woman who is, I don't know, has a reputation that she may or may not have had, but just...
No, she did have. I mean, she was married to a guy who was a drug addict,
yeah.
drug dealer, and that's why Putnam used her to try to get her to inform on criminals, and yeah.
But her life was less valuable than Mark Putnam's. That idea.
That was the idea. She didn't count.
Yeah.
And the authorities basically said, your sister's missing. She's a drug addict. Who knows where she went to? And we're not doing anything about it. And they did not do anything about it.
And no reason to ruin an FBI agent's career over that, right?
Exactly. Who is she? She's a hillbilly.
Yeah.
She's a hillbilly from... And you know, she lived up way up in, the furthest Phelps. I don't know if you guys know where mm-hmm. Phelps is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary Jo was just in Tug Valley this week.
Yeah.
She was just there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know it up there. I mean, it's backwards up there.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you might as well be in Africa as far as I'm concerned, except for the coal
yeah.
that's there. I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, and the other thing that's interesting is that Mark Putnam claimed that he laid her in a place without burying her so she could be found.
Mm.
Okay. If he wanted her found, then he would have laid her somewhere along those
yeah.
hills between Lexington and Pikeville, where there's plenty of places to do that,
yeah.
okay, that are still secluded, but she could be found. No, no, no. He laid her in a ravine in the hills in the middle of nowhere, knowing full well, because as an FBI agent, and I was told this by his colleagues, they had looked in those hills for other bodies and other missing persons mm-hmm. along the way while he worked there for 2 years and couldn't find them. I mean, that he knew you could scour those hills forever and never find a body
yeah.
because he had done it. He was aware of his colleagues having done it. And so, you know, and that interestingly enough, back then, the FBI and the state police held a news conference. I have the footage from the Hazard News Station where the news conference was held to attack my book, saying that I took all their words out of context.
Mm.
Well, not really. I didn't. All I said was that they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to try to bring justice.
Right. Well, when you're working against that, in that culture, you know, good old boys network, they're going to band together. And
let me tell you, there's something else that happened that was very interesting to me. A couple of years after this book came out, and I had moved to Williamsburg, as you know, to teach at Cumberland College, I got a knock on my door at some time around 2 o'clock in the morning, between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and two cops were at my door. Why were they there?
Hmm.
They were there because I was on the FBI most wanted list.
Good grief.
I swear to God.
Huh.
And why was I on that list? And I said to them, I wrote this book. I showed them the book. This is why they put me on the FBI most wanted list. They were taking me in to put me in prison, in jail overnight.
Oh,
not prison,
gosh.
But in jail.
Yeah.
And I was listed as an alias for one of the most wanted people. And I argued and argued. And and they were taking me in. And finally, they looked at the paperwork of the original person whom I was listed as an alias for. It turned out the original person they were looking for was an African-American woman. So they realized, they looked at it, and they said, oh, okay, we have the wrong person. But what do you think? That was just a coinkydink?
Yeah.
Go
rattle her cage in the middle of the night while you're at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And believe me, when you get officers at your door at 2 o'clock in the morning coming into your house,
yeah,
not fun.
Of all the books you've written and cases you've studied and been a part of as far as you know, writing on, has anything like that ever happened with any of the other stories?
You mean as far as being come after by the police?
Well, or just
intimidated,
being kind of attacked as far as your credibility in the story by the other side.
No, I have never been attacked for my credibility on any of the books I've written since The FBI Killer. It's the only book I've been attacked on for my credibility. And the interesting thing is they continue and will continue to attack my credibility, I'm sure, as this movie is being made and as this author, Joe Sharkey, is now going to be applauded for his rendition of the story. I'm sure, first of all, they're going to try to ignore my book. Secondly, there have been people on the internet, I notice on Amazon, that are actually going on there to say, don't bother with this book. Just read Joe Sharkey's book. Aphrodite Jones' book is a waste of time. It's poorly written. It's inconsistent. It's got filled with, you know, immaterial information. You know what? I wrote that book from my heart. Yeah. I wrote that book, and I started out with the Hatfields and the McCoys because I lived in it. I lived in Pikeville for 2 years, and I knew what that country was about. I dedicated that book to Susan Daniel Smith, and it was my very first book. I didn't dedicate it to any family member. I didn't dedicate it to anyone else. I dedicated it to her because it broke my heart that this woman was buried in a coffin the size of a baby coffin, okay, that the woman at the funeral home said to Shelby Ward, I use this coffin to bury my dog in. It's a nice, cute little coffin. Mm. That's something that stuck with me forever, that this woman was left with and then she had to be exhumed to look at her fetal bones that were there that were found. Okay, with her, because there was still a question, supposedly, that she was pregnant or not, because Putnam was pretending that there was no pregnancy, and the law was not paying attention to Shelby Ward, who, again, is a mountain woman who shouldn't be paid attention to. This is what was going on. I wrote that book from the heart.
Yeah.
I wrote that book having interviewed every single soul that would talk to me, and I told the true story. Now, did I imply that there could have been a cover-up? Sure I did, because I believe there was.
Well, will you see the movie?
Of course I'll see the movie. And I love the actress, and I'm sure they'll do a wonderful job. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, I don't have a question in my mind as to, them portraying, this story in a way that will be fair, I hope, Susan Smith, because they've got to make her a sympathetic character. But at the same time, to show Mark Putnam as a sympathetic character, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm going to see it out of curiosity. I'm going to see it out of deference to a story that I lived and worked on for 2.5 years.
Absolutely. Aphrodite Jones, thank you so much.
I want to have her on for the next hour, so I don't really want to let you go. I have so many more questions, but thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me, and I do want to say I want to just pay my respects to Muhammad Ali, the son of Louisville, Kentucky, who, when I used to live there, I spent time with some of the big sports heroes of that day, and I just, his death and his legacy live on forever, and I just want to. I want to remind everybody that I don't forget, that he was our Kentucky son.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Aphrodite Jones here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And we have been going for 25 minutes straight. We don't do this for free, and the equipment isn't free, and neither is the power, and it's time to pay the bills. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Can you
save me from this? The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Legends Homestand wraps up tonight with fireworks after the game and a chance to take a picture with the Royals World Series trophy. Before the game, the World Series trophy will be at the ballpark and fans will have a chance to take pictures. Check out LexingtonLegends.com for tickets, promos, and all the stash-tastic fun you can catch at a Legends game.
Dear John, uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious and I can quit whenever I want. But when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
For help getting your high blood pressure to a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Here's Carrie Patterson with big news from Carpet One.
Shop Carpet One's I Love It flooring sale and save up to $500 on select floors store-wide. Plus, save up to 50% on Tigressa carpets, all with great financing options available. Visit the experts at Carpet One for tremendous savings now through June 20th during our I Love It flooring sale.
Visit Carpet One, 390 New Circle Road, or on the web at carpetonelex.com. Finance subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
No matter if your vehicle is personal or business, Fleet Doc will take care of it with a 24-month nationwide guarantee on all parts and labor as a TechNet professional member. Even complimentary roadside assistance is available should you break down. Fleet Doc has everything to be your trusted vehicle doctor.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bingo, bingo!
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
Schwab's Pipes and Stuff. It's where to go when your day's been rough.
We're family-owned since 1977. Come and enjoy our smoking lounge and patio on Southland Drive.
Hey, hey, our cigars are great and our blends are the bomb. It's time for you to get your smoke on. So head on down to a place you're sure to love. Talking about Schwab's Pipes and Stuff.
Summer is finally here at Aurora. Complete your outdoor room with savings up to 60% off hundreds of in-stock patio collections from top-of-line brands. Plus, get 30% off select outdoor accessories. Summer is here. Get your backyard ready for summer fun and hurry into Aurora today. Call 299-2932. Summer is finally here at Aurora. Get your backyard ready for family fun with a 24-foot above-ground pool package for only $19.95. Don't forget they offer free professional water testing in-store. Summer is here. Get your backyard ready and hurry into Aurora today. Call 299-2932.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Last night after the news broke that Muhammad Ali had passed, which was, I think it was around midnight or so.
Yes, it was late.
Yeah, and
there had been reports earlier in the day, or earlier in the evening, that he was not doing well.
Right, right. And so I just became, you know, trying to find different things to look at and remember him. And one of them that one of the things I never knew is, I guess in like, he had saved, in 1981, I believe it was, he saved a man from jumping off a ledge. Did you see that one?
No.
He is, I mean, Muhammad Ali is out on this, hanging out this window, and there's this man that looks like he's about to jump. And Muhammad Ali somehow talks him off the ledge. The man comes in and comes into Muhammad Ali's arms. And the description is that both men appear to be crying. And
jeez.
I just can't imagine. Dennis is on the line. Dennis, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody today?
Good morning,
good.
Dennis.
Okay.
Well, actually, this is a two-part story concerning Muhammad Ali. Back in the 70s, when he fought Joe Frazier, they didn't have pay-per-view. They had closed-circuit TV.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my friends, there was five of us, paid $10 to go watch at the Congress Theater Frazier versus Ali. And, you know, it was a big screen. It was a big theater, you know, big screen and everything. And, of course, back then, closed circuit was really, really bad because the fight might be going on, then they'll lose feet. So you might not have feet for like 2-3 rounds. But for $10, it was well worth it. But anyway, and in 1985, I came home on leave from the military. I was stationed in Hawaii, and my mom was living in Chicago. Well, my sister worked for the Drake Hotel in downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
Very nice, fancy hotel.
I've stayed there one time.
And she called me up, and she wanted to know, she worked in food service. She wanted to know if I wanted to make some extra money because some of their staff called out, and they just need somebody to run trays up to the room. I said, all right, sure, I'll be there. And I got there, and she gave me the white coat and, you know, like gloves, the whole nine yards. I'm surprised they didn't do a DNA test to make sure I was okay to touch the food. So anyway, a long story short, she says, I got you doing the penthouse suite. I'm like, all right, thank you very much. So all I got to do is knock on the door, say, you know, room service, back off from the door, and when they acknowledge you, you bring the tray in, the card in, and if they ask you to put it somewhere, you put it somewhere, they sign a ticket, and you go. I'm like, all right. Well, anyway, I had this big tray to bring up, and it was a complimentary tray. It had fruits, it had champagne, had all different types of things, and I had to take it up to this room. Well, anyway, I get up there, I'm on the top floor, and I knock on the door, and I said, room service. They say, you know, okay, hang on. They come to the door. This lady came in. She had on some type of royal, you know, gown, whatever, you know, robe and hat.
Yeah.
Well, it was Muhammad Ali's suite. He was doing a speech in Chicago.
What year was this?
It was 1985. Anyway, long story short, she says, we do not drink champagne.
Ah.
Okay, ma'am. She says, but we will take the fruit. She says, can you please put it over there? Well, anyway, this gentleman gets up and shakes my hand. And guess who it is?
The greatest.
Wow. When he shook my hand for that split second, every fighter that he fought, I'm feeling it. And I'm thinking, this man has a soft hand, but big knuckles.
Yeah.
And he turned around, he said to me, he said, thank you. And I left.
Yeah. Wow. But, well, I'm watching those big knuckles bash George Foreman right now. ESPN2, I guess, is showing all of his fights.
I'm thinking,
just knocked him down.
You know, this hand that shook my hand, you know, Dex Foreman, Dex Frazier, Dex Sonny Liston, Jimmy Ellis, on and on and on. But at that time, when I was young, I didn't really respect his technique and what he did until I got older and I started watching his fights.
Yeah.
And to see that somebody really, I mean, as a heavyweight, he wasn't that big.
Yeah.
But he knew, I mean, he did, you know, sport psychology before it even was big because he got in their head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In their head.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he used his body as a battering ram, so you tired yourself out.
Mm-hmm. He was innovative in so many ways. And the celebrations you see by athletes today. I mean, who started that? Man, Muhammad Ali.
And he had a number one hit in the 70s.
All right. Here, what's
the black Superman, Muhammad Ali. Try to find it. It's there. I've heard it. But you
know what I tried to find last night was When We Were Kings, the movie that came out in 1996 about Muhammad Ali.
That was awesome.
It's nowhere. I can't find it. You would have to go buy it somewhere. Like, it's not on Vudu or it's not on Netflix.
Maybe it will be now.
It should be. They better put it up there. Somebody needs to.
Somebody that we're never going to forget. When we see, you know, a fight, you'll see he treaded the way. And he made boxing what it was and what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you guys have a good day.
All right, Dennis. Thank you. Thank you very much. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I've always been amused when I see insurance commercials with TV and movie actors pitching their company like a carnival barker. They hope you trust the actor. But I'll tell you this, I don't trust any of them. I've seen too much. I've seen claims for property damage, life insurance, and disability lowballed or denied, like a bad movie. I've seen people sign away their rights after a car accident because they trusted the adjuster and didn't have a lawyer present. Not clean hands, dirty hands. I've seen families' lives destroyed because these companies' goals are to take in insurance premiums and give you the short end of the stick for profit. Life is not a movie, it's real. Hire a real law firm who's fought for you right at 30 years. So please visit ForThePeople.com for more information about our firm, our results, and our lawyers. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Offices, Lexington.
Never trust your appearance to just anyone. Get your swagger on at Lexington's top-rated barbershop, Prince Cuts Barbershop. Open 7 days a week, Prince Cuts Barbershop is Lexington's most upscale barbershop, and the men there give you the style you deserve. Prince Cuts has something for everyone, and you can even book your appointment online at princecuts.com. Prince Cuts is not your ordinary barbershop, it's an experience. Located off Richmond Road behind Panera in front of Doubletree, Prince Cuts. Call 299-CUTS. You will get a style fit for Prince.
Lawn work doesn't have to be expensive or time-consuming. Leave it to the professionals at Blue Ribbon Lawn Care. They mow every lawn like they're mowing for their mom, beautifully, with attention to detail. Here's what some Blue Ribbon Lawn Care satisfied customers have to say.
Very faithful and efficient, and pays attention to detail, and I like that. I would describe his work as immaculate.
For all their services, visit BlueRibbonLex.com or call 275-1166. Isn't your yard worth a blue ribbon?
What is brupper? Duh, it's breakfast for supper, and it's happening right now at Frisch's Big Boy, Wednesdays from 4 to 9 p.m. Brupper is the breakfast bar dream of never-ending pancakes, Frisch's spicy spuds, and thick-cut bacon for dinner. Oh, yeah. Brupper is an appetizer of fresh fruit and cereal, followed by a dessert of biscuits and gravy? Come on. Brupper is happiness for the whole crew, every Wednesday at Frisch's Big Boy. This is Brupper.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I mean, I really do want to just sit at the house and watch Muhammad Ali fights all day, because ESPN2 is now showing them. And we just saw Ali knock out Foreman in their 1974 heavyweight bout.
In Zaire.
Yeah. Man. But so, he was just so much more, obviously. Just meant so much more. The only Muhammad Ali story I have is that he was at Bengals camp one year in Georgetown.
Yep, I remember
when we
that.
Were covering it. And he came out in a... on a golf cart, four-wheeler, something like that. And the team gathered around. And I remember
these NFL players that are mesmerized.
Yes.
Mesmerized by seeing him. That's what I remember.
Exactly. That's exactly what I remember. That was my takeaway from it, is seeing the respect and reaction and just being in awe of, like, Chad Johnson and Carson Palmer and those guys. The way they reacted to seeing Muhammad Ali was pretty special.
Yeah. So there's obviously a bunch of fans gathered outside the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville today, paying their respects, leaving flowers and cards and well wishes. You know, it's I don't think, and sometimes we're such a prisoner of the moment when someone dies.
Yeah.
To heighten their accomplishments or heighten their impact. I really don't think you can overstate Muhammad Ali's impact on the sports world and just on the world in general. Just, I mean, I've seen a lot of reaction from people who say, you know, he was my first role model.
Yeah.
He was the first person that I could look up to and say, okay, I don't have to be silent. I don't have to do what everyone tells me to do.
You were playing Will Smith. When we came in out of break, you've seen that movie, all right? Where he plays Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was all right, I think.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he did a good job.
But I do want to see When We Were Kings. I started watching something on YouTube that was kind of a documentary, maybe an unofficial documentary, but had good information on it.
Just watching stuff this morning on YouTube, just how thoughtful he was about everything.
But his boxing career... because we weren't, like, his boxing career ended in maybe, like, 1980 or something like that. But, you know, 1978, you remember Leon Spinks?
Yeah.
See, I am old enough to at least remember watching Leon Spinks in the ring, you know, when it happened. But Spinks beat him in 1978 in February, and then in September, Ali, at 36 years old, came back and became the first man to win the heavyweight title of the world three times.
Mm-hmm.
That's just crazy. At 36.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. And also, I mean, just to push through Parkinson's for 32 years. That's really, really amazing.
And to not let that define him.
Mm-hmm.
To not let that stop him. You know, he's still making public appearances.
Yeah. Now, and We'll play this here in a minute, but in the movie Coming to America, Mama called him Clay, I'm going to call him Clay. Well, I mean, he used to abuse fighters for that. Lots of fighters would not call him Muhammad Ali and try to get back underneath his skin for calling him. It was one fight they were saying in this documentary that he kept saying to the guys he was beating him, he was taunting him. He could have knocked him out at any time, but he wouldn't. He was just toying with him like a cat with a mouse. What's my name? Say my name. Muhammad Ali.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure, just the best prices on quality pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
Come to Hooters for 5 seafood choices under $10, featuring Baja Fish Tacos, Buffalo Shrimp, and our latest, New Orleans Shrimp. For a better taste of the beach, you'd have to rent a beachfront condo. Good luck finding one for under $10. Hooters.
For the second year in a row, Napoleon's is having a warehouse sale at 103 Miller Drive, Crittenden. Brand new barbecue starting at $149. Electric fireplaces from $79. And other fireplaces starting at $299. Discontinued products are priced to go, and scratch and dented items are priced at blowout prices. Pick items up Friday, noon to 9, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Take a closer look at what they have to offer. Visit NapoleonGrills.com and NapoleonFireplaces.com. Napoleon Factory, 103 Miller Drive in Crittenden. Exit 166 off I-75.
Ride in your truck with style. On the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you. On the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play. At the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
Fleet Doc is here for your travel season. They'll get you ready for your trip as quickly as 1 hour to install a set of tires. Full safety inspection with every oil change and affordable two or four wheel alignments. Visit your one-stop shop, Fleet Doc, 1031 Contract Street, Lexington.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bing-ba, bing-ba.
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Muhammad Ali died overnight in Scottsdale, Arizona, just one day after he was hospitalized with respiratory problems. Ali's boxing career came at a time when boxing was still a major part of the sports landscape. But after his retirement in 1981, boxing quickly became much smaller without him. Ali's impact on the world, however, would become much larger. It was 20 years ago when Ali lit the cauldron at the Summer Olympics in Atlanta. One of the other torchbearers that night was another heavyweight champ, Evander Holyfield.
In 1996, I got an opportunity to carry the torch, and the big thing was I was wondering who was more popular than I was. There was Ali, and he lit the torch, and that's when I found out Ali was more than a fighter. All this humanitarian work, they said things that I couldn't even imagine that he had opportunity to do.
Evander Holyfield on the Freddie Coleman Show. Ali was a three-time heavyweight champ, and while he made headlines by changing his name just 10 days after he first won the title, many of his fights were known by names of their own, the Fight of the Century, the Rumble in the Jungle, the Thriller in Manila. On the eve of Game 2 of the NBA Finals, LeBron James calls Ali the greatest athlete of all time. but that was secondary to what he meant outside the ring, his influence, what he stood for. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar writes on Facebook, his bravery, his outspokenness, his sacrifice lives on in the best part of each of us. Ali was 74.
Remembering Muhammad Ali.
Just as a fighter, he would go down in history as one of the great sportsmen of all time. But the things he did outside the ring, the way he inspired people, he is a colossus.
Reaction Monday on Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
I was out mowing my lawn last weekend, and that's when I realized that even a small engine can have a big problem. That didn't sound good. So I went to Moses's, a one-stop shop for all your lawn equipment needs. From small engine repair to outdoor power equipment sales, Moses's does it all. And with experienced factory-trained techs, they have a reputation for fixing it right at 511 North Broadway, across from Broadway Mini Mart in Georgetown. Moses's, your local outdoor power experts that promise great service after every sale.
Are you feeling sad because your credit's bad?
Let the Courtesy Credit Builders get you approved with only $73 down and no payments for the first 3 months. Plus, with every vehicle purchase, you get a $500 Walmart shopping spree.
And you'll drive with confidence at Courtesy. Our trucks, cars, and SUVs have been certified, or we won't sell them. Why buy old and busted when you can drive new and trusted?
Just go to CourtesyOnWheels.com or come see us at Courtesy Acura on Nicholasville Road next to the Fayette Mall. And that's what we like to call...
sweet.
Summertime in the bluegrass means just one thing, Dan.
It's time to go nuts.
So long.
It's time for Courtesy's sweet summer deals and steals. That's right. Keep the cash in your pocket.
Uncle Joe's been buying them.
So long.
And we're passing the savings on to you.
Bring us any price, any offer, any payment, and we'll beat it. Guaranteed.
Courtesy is so confident that we have the lowest prices on pre-owned vehicles this summer. We'll pay you $500 if we can't beat any other dealer's price, payment, or offer.
Visit CourtesyOnWheels.com for offer details. Or come visit us on Nicholasville Road next to the Fayette Mall.
And that's what we like to call...
sweet.
When you want variety, you usually need to visit several places for bold flavors. Where they stuff your pretzel roll with four cheeses and bacon. Or where there's a vegetarian sandwich with roasted tomatoes and basil. Or where Italian meets cheeses and bread rain. Not anymore. Because when you want to try seven new sandwiches with a range of unique flavors, there's only one place to go, Schlotzky's. Whether you go inside or order at the drive-thru, Schlotzky's is the only place you'll find sandwiches like the Caprese on ciabatta, the French dip on a pretzel roll, or the bacon beef smoked cheesy on our signature sourdough. And to make your business event perfect, don't forget to call Schlotzky's for catering. Keep everyone happy with oven-baked box lunches or a cafe sandwich tray. You can feed everyone for well under $10 per person. And they even have free delivery in the metro area. Schlotzky's, a quarter mile south of Fayette Mall. Or call 859-245-1624. That's 245-1624. 624 Schlotzky's. Lots better.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at @DReefer or at @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
And during the break, Mary Jo had something pulled up where Muhammad Ali is talking. I don't know what that's from, but this woman is saying something to him, and she's trying
to...
She
said, sir, I don't like you because of your arrogance.
Okay.
And he said, no, you don't like me because I'm black.
Right. And then she comes back with, I'm a minority in this country, too. I'm from England. And Muhammad Ali says, oh, you're from England. You own England and America. I mean... could you imagine? I wonder if that woman is still alive today. Honey, you just told Muhammad Ali that being from England means you're a
minority in
back
this
in like the 60s yeah. or 70s is when she said this. Oh, wow. Well, we're going to switch topics a little bit, but we will first get John Hale's reaction to the death of Muhammad Ali. He joins us now, John Hale from the Courier-Journal. You can follow him at John Hale underscore CJ. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, as always.
And I imagine tons of stuff up on the CourierJournal.com today.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere you go on our website, it's Muhammad Ali blowout. Thankfully, with the way media works, when some of these things happen, especially with local kind of dignitaries and celebrities, there's a lot of prep work that goes into that ahead of time. So we had a big extensive obituary that had been in the can for a while that was updated last night, and was in the print edition today, and then there's all sorts of stories online, and tomorrow there's actually going to be a 24-page special section in the print paper if you pick that up, too.
Wow. See, that there's the value still. I know that the way of the newspaper is different, obviously. We get so much of our information online, but these are the days when, because I have stacks of stuff. You know, I have newspapers from way back that I'm always going to keep. I have a newspaper from 1985 when or 86 when the Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl with Buddy Ryan on, you know, half the team's shoulders and Ditka on the other half of the team's shoulders. And I'm never getting rid of that.
Yeah.
And so if you grew up with Muhammad Ali, and this is one of those weekends, just like the Derby, you know, that paper as well. But I think that's it's most
really just being from Louisville. There can't be a more famous son of Louisville.
And there can't be a better paper to have for this event or this death, this tragedy than the one in Louisville.
That's what we like to think, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we brought you on, John, to discuss UK baseball because this week Gary Henderson resigned after 8 years as the head coach. He'd been here for 13 years, came in under John Cohen as pitching coach. And Henderson said it was 100% his decision in a statement through UK, but then he later told John Clay of the Herald Leader the same thing. And he said it was because the results weren't meeting his expectation. But here's the thing. This is where I want to start. The expectation given the resources, how high should it be in the first place? When you look at what Henderson did his just last three seasons, 43-46 in the SEC. That's 48.3%. One NCAA tournament appearance. John Cohen's last 3 years at UK, 49-40, 54.4%. So, yes, it's better, but it's only better by like six games. John Cohen won six more SEC games over 3 years than Gary Henderson did in his last 3 years. Gary Henderson also had five straight years of 30-win seasons at Kentucky. That's never happened before. Cohen's overall SEC record, 63-85-1. That's a 42.2% win percentage. Gary Henderson, 104-134, 43.7%. So in their career at Kentucky, the time here, Gary Henderson's win percentage in the SEC is better than Cohen's. Now, to be fair, Cohen's first 2 years, he was building something, and he went 14-45. So that factors in heavily. But really, Gary Henderson said it was 100% his decision. And if it wouldn't have been his decision, it shouldn't have been Mitch Barnhart's, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I fall on it, too. I mean, I was surprised that he resigned. I mean, if for no other reason than by resigning and making it so clear as his call, he walked away from, you know, quite a bit of money and 2 years left on his contract. But I think those expectations probably weigh heavily into what you're saying there. I mean, frankly, the facility's not good. I mean, it's a fine college baseball facility, but in terms of the SEC, where, you know, college baseball is generally the second or third most important sport on most of the campuses in the South, clearly that's not the case in Kentucky, but those facilities are on another level, and Kentucky just doesn't compete with them. So to have that, you have the northernmost school in the league, so the weather and the difficulty training during the winter and getting outside the early spring before the season starts and those kind of things, that's always going to be a strike against Kentucky. So those kind of situations, I actually talked to one of the national writers a couple weeks before the tournament just about what Kentucky needed to do to get to the tournament, and then asked him at the end, this Aaron Fitt from D1Baseball.com, and said, well, what's the national perception of Gary Henderson? Because at least with the vocal portion of the fan base that tweets and those kind of things, it seems like they're pretty tired of the program being where it is. And he kind of, you know, was a little taken aback by that and said, I think the national perception is he's a really good coach and has some things working against him, and that's about what you should expect at Kentucky right now. I think the complicating factor in all this situation that can't be ignored is Louisville. I mean, because Louisville
that's what I was just going to say. I mean, it's the same weather.
Yep.
Same weather in Louisville.
Same difficulty as a conference now that they're in the ACC.
Yep, and that's, I think, talking to people around UK before Louisville moved to the ACC, when they were getting good, when they made that first College World Series, people behind the scenes would tell you, well, if we were in, you know, Conference USA or the, you know, what became of the AAC or whatever,
yeah,
we'd be putting up those numbers too. But when Louisville made it to the ACC and continued to dominate, ACC is, you know, just as good as the SEC in baseball, that argument went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way I've looked at it, at least to compare the two, is, I mean, Louisville has all the same sort of detriments that Kentucky does. They have all the same drawbacks, but they got a guy in Dan McDonald. They made the right hire, and there may not have been another coach in the country who could have turned that program into what he has done at Louisville, and then they've managed to keep him, whether it's by moving up the league, so now the job is just as prestigious as any other major conference job. They've clearly put the financial backing behind him. They gave him a $10 million deal this week over 10 years, so that's the deal. And I think maybe if John Cohen had stayed at Kentucky, he's that kind of coach. I mean,
yeah,
he's got the fiery personality, the salesman, he's going to attract people. They clearly won the SEC title when he was here. So maybe if they kept going, they could have had a similar path. But Gary just wasn't that guy who was going to go out and sell and be the big fiery personality that Cohen was. And that doesn't mean he's not a good coach, because I think he's a really good coach. And he's clearly one of the best pitching minds in the country.
Yeah.
But they had different kind of styles. And at a job like Kentucky or a job like Louisville, you have to have the one guy who's going to maybe take that program to the next level. Louisville got him in Dan McDonald. And I think Gary clearly, by his decision this week, decided it wasn't going to work out for him here, so he needed to find something else.
Well, and I feel like he said as much in his statement. I mean, he said the decision was 100% mine, but he kind of went on to say to be where you want to be in the SEC is a 24/7 job. Yep. And the stuff that you're talking about, the going out and selling the program, you know, the endless hours of recruiting and stuff, it just kind of felt to me like maybe he just didn't have that in him to do that anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a big factor for sure. I mean, he's a very devoted kind of family guy from all indications we have. He's very close with them. I mean, he wants to, I think, be around a little bit more. I know he's got a teenage son now who's going to be going off to college in a few years. And I mean, he's a guy who I'm sure doesn't have to wait long to pick up the phone and get a job somewhere. Maybe it's in the professional ranks as a pitching coordinator or something for a franchise in the minor leagues or whatever. I mean, just look at the number of pitchers that he's produced and sent to the minors and sent to the majors even in the last 2 or 3 years, and it shows you how kind of respected he is. I think there's a fair question to ask when you're producing that kind of professional talent, why haven't the results been better on the field? But he knows what he's doing in terms of pitching and those kind of things. So I don't think he's going to have to wait long for a job. It's just a matter of him finding the right fit for what kind of time commitment he wants to put in. You know?
No offense, Mary Jo, but I think Henderson's statement was a bunch of baloney. I think the truth is that Henderson believes, given the resources that I have and the results that we've produced, and 5 straight seasons of 30 wins, and the number of you that come out to these games and sit here, and now the pressure from a few articles being written, from fan chatter, you know what? Good luck finding somebody who can do it better. I've given it my best. I think I've had about all I can take of this.
I don't think it's going to be easy to find someone better.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is what Gary Henderson's saying. I think he's resigned. He didn't resign because it was too much. I think he resigned because, look, good luck. Look, I've done the best I could do here. You guys don't like it? Well, good luck finding somebody who can do better with what we've got. If you don't appreciate it, I'll go somewhere where I am appreciated. I don't think he wanted to go down that road. I think he already knew that, all right, here's the feeling now. Here's the pulse of the fan base a little bit coming up and bubbling. And now if next season we go into it, the expectation is going to be even higher now. Now and he's not going to have the team to produce. That's just my own personal take on it. So let's look. Go ahead.
I'm not sure that those two ideas are necessarily, you know, exclude each other either.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
When you're talking about what you said with the fan base and feeling a little underappreciated, then those tasks that 24/7, 365 stuff becomes a lot more difficult to deal with and a lot more to handle. So maybe if the pressure hadn't been building the last year or two and the what UK baseball fans there are that want to tweet about things and post on message boards and stuff hadn't been as negative as it had turned in recent months, maybe it's a little easier to deal with those extra obligations that he's got out there. Maybe it's a little bit, you can handle put a little more effort in to get this stadium built in those kind of situations. But for now, I mean, I just think the combination of all those things together made him decide that it was time for something else.
So we're both right.
There you go.
So who is on the radar, on the list? Who does UK turn to now?
Well, I mean, I think it's mostly speculation at this point, as we all know, in terms of watching the football coaching search, you know, 3 or 4 years ago and two basketball searches now. I mean, Mitch Barnhart keeps his cards pretty close to the chest in these situations. He's not out telling a lot of people who he's looking at or whatever, but there are at least some names that make a lot of sense. I think the number one guy that you're hearing from national writers and that has a lot of connections or at least has the success in the connections that make him kind of an attractive candidate is Greg Goff at Louisiana Tech, their head coach. He was an assistant at Kentucky under Keith Madison in the early 2000s, went to Campbell, had three straight 40-win seasons, took them to an NCAA tournament. They got their first NCAA tournament win in program history. He just took Louisiana Tech to the tournament, their first tournament bid since 1987. As an at-large school, so it wasn't like they even won their conference tournament to get in. They were got a bid that Kentucky could not get this season at Louisiana Tech. So he's, I think, the number one candidate if you're asking national people who they think makes sense and has that combination. And then there are a lot of
Before you move on, John, I want to add to this that you did. John tweeted retweeted a story about golf yesterday. Follow John on Twitter at @JohnHale_CJ. And that article that you tweeted about Greg Goff really paints the picture of a disciplinarian, fiery guy that kind of reminds you of the John Cohen, which I think is what people are longing for.
Mm-hmm.
But
and he's a guy who's built. I mean, he's been building programs
at
Louisiana Tech. So when you take on those kind of jobs, I think that's the personality you have to have. You have to be out there and be the salesman and be the kind of fiery guy who gets people excited and attracted and. That article, which is from one of the Louisiana papers, seemed to suggest that he's really kind of drummed up the fan support there for a place that maybe there hadn't been a lot of fan support before. So, I mean, that's something that if you want to build a stadium, I know that the department keeps saying that it's in the works. It's going to happen. Spring 2018 is the latest date they've been giving to that, but it's still in the planning stages. So if you can bring in a guy who's fiery and get some people excited and maybe can drum up some private donations, then that's going to be really important in that kind of process, I think.
Yeah. Louisiana Tech getting like 5,000 people to their games, by the way.
Yeah.
But John's...
And maybe whoever it is says, yeah, I'll come. I got to have a guarantee of a new stadium. We got to have that in the works.
Yeah, we got to have the support. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's definitely, depending on what kind of caliber of candidate you're looking at, if you're going to get one of these guys who's, you know, an up-and-coming head coach at a mid-major who's going to have a lot of offers from other programs who are open. I mean, Alabama's open right now. That's a better job than Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly Texas is open. They're not going to be looking at the same caliber of candidates. But there will be other jobs that open. There will be better jobs than Kentucky this spring. And if you're competing against those schools for guys, maybe those are the types that you're going to have to make these guarantees to. And if Mitch Barnhart's not comfortable with that, then you have to start looking at that second tier of guys who are former assistants, either under Cohen or under Gary Henderson, who have been around the program a lot recently, know what it is. Are kind of have whether it's a Brian Green who's taken over at New Mexico State or a Brad Bohannon who's an assistant in Auburn but was the assistant of the year last year, even Rick Eckstein, the current hitting coach who was in the majors as a hitting coach for a while. Then you start looking at those guys, I think, if you're not in the position to guarantee stadiums and such.
Yeah, those guys understand the challenge, and they understand that all the stadium talk doesn't mean anything until the shovel's in the ground, and so they know what to expect there. But John put together in the Courier-Journal a list of, like, the, I think, top 10 hot names for the job. And Chris Burke is one of the most interesting ones that I've seen. I can remember I was working in Columbus, Georgia, covering the Braves game when Burke hit that home run to end the series. And it was just, the whole state of Georgia was heartbroken over that one. Nick Mingione, is that how you say it? Mingione?
I think that's close.
He was at UK with Cohen and now with him at Mississippi State. That's another one, but a lot of interesting candidates and very good descriptions for all of them there.
Yeah, I think Chris Burke's the one guy. I know there was a national report earlier this week that he's probably interested in the job, so I think that would be really kind of maybe a flashy, if you're going to, if there's a such thing as a flashy college baseball hire, I think that's probably as flashy as it gets.
Has he coached?
No, he is not. Well, he's a I mean, he's got a baseball academy and been a private coach. So he does a lot of like individual instruction, but he has not been a college coach at this level yet. But he was a finalist for the Tennessee job 2 or 3 years ago when they hired Dave Serrano. So I think he's one of 2 or 3 finalists for that job. That's where, he, I mean, it's his alma mater, clearly. So, I mean, and he's an analyst for ESPN and the SEC Network now. So, I mean, it's a risk for sure to hire a guy who's not been a college coach. I mean, maybe if you hire him, you have to make sure you get an associate coach or an assistant who's been around for a long time and knows the recruiting and the NCAA regulations and all those kind of things. But as far as name value, I think he'd be flashy, but it's definitely a risk if you're going to look for somebody who's never coached at all to come in and immediately coach in the SEC.
Well, if you write that article that when he gets hired, if Chris Burke is the hire, the picture should be him sitting at the UK basketball game versus Tennessee with a Tennessee hat on.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
I'm sure if it comes to a head coaching job, he'll do what he needs to do to get it, but he's definitely a Tennessee guy first. I mean, that's his alma mater. He was the SEC Player of the Year there. And he's a Louisville guy second because, I mean, he's from Louisville.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of connections to McDonald's program. He's around there quite a bit. So, I mean, he's not really had this connection to Kentucky, even though he's from the state or whatever. But, I mean, that might be enough for him to get it. If he's interested, he'll look past those things. But it's definitely – there will be some awkward questions, I think, first up if that happens.
And some wardrobe changes will be made.
Yeah.
Hey, let's switch it to football real quick before we let you go. Talking to John Hale for the Courier-Journal here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Announced this week, UK at Florida gets the 3:30 slot, which basically CBS is saying, to fulfill our obligation to make sure that all SEC schools get in the 3:30 game, we're going with the second game that Kentucky plays to make sure. But that is an interesting position for Kentucky to get that game right there. I mean, it has to be on their minds, on the coaching staff's minds, that this is an opportunity to really capitalize coming off the opener.
Yeah, I mean, if you beat Miss Southern Miss, which I don't think is a guarantee by any means.
No, Shannon Dawson on the other sideline knows the defense pretty well.
Yeah, he's going to be pretty motivated in that game, I'm sure. So that's no guarantee, but if you beat Southern Miss, and you're feeling good about yourself going into the second week. I mean, these guys know they can play Florida close. They've done it 2 years in a row. So, I mean, that's exciting. I mean, even down at the Swamp 2 years ago, they went to 3 overtimes clearly.
Yeah.
So they know they can play in that facility. Maybe it actually helps them a little bit being in the middle of the afternoon as opposed to being a night game on the road. It's not quite as much time for fans to get lathered up and excited about those kind of things. Sure, it'll be
100
really
degrees.
Really hot, and you're going to have to worry about conditioning and those kind of things. But they're confident. I mean, obviously if you're a Kentucky fan, you'd feel better if that game was at home than in Florida.
Yeah.
But, I mean, until they beat Florida, I'm not going to pick them to because they've never done it since I was alive. But it's at least an opportunity early, and even if you don't win, if you play well in a national audience, maybe you get some positive buzz, and then you get some more winnable games at home later in the schedule, and that helps keep people excited and sell some tickets early.
The most important person who will be attending that game, most likely, is Florida quarterback Mac Jones, a 2017 commit, and he talked this week to KSTV, TJ Beisner, and made it sound like you have nothing to worry about, Big Blue Nation.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since I talked to Mac. I know he's at the Elite Eight this weekend, or the Elite 11, sorry. But when I last talked to him, he was this was right after the Alabama offer, right after he won the Rivals camp. He's really firm. I mean, I think it's logical to look in from the outside and say that's a guy that Kentucky's got to worry about. But I don't really see what the offer is right now that you have to be super concerned. I mean, Alabama signed got another commitment. Texas A&M has another quarterback commitment. I think people have been concerned about the local schools if they come in late. But I asked him specifically about Florida then, and he said he didn't think that would be an issue because when he grew up a Florida fan, but when a program kind of overlooks you early like they had in his process, it kind of soured him on him a little bit. So he doesn't seem very concerned about that. Obviously, things can change if they're not winning games on the field this fall and a big program comes in and sells that to him. But for now, I think Kentucky fans should be okay with where Mac Jones is.
Real quick, John, does Cal ever get the SEC tournament moved to Saturday?
I think it might happen. I mean, I definitely think this whole ridiculous move it to November or whatever thing was just a smoke screen to get them talking about actually moving it to Saturday, ask for something big, and get what you actually want that's a little less. Maybe it won't happen this year, but he's going to complain about it long enough until somebody does. So I think it happens eventually.
There you go.
John Hale of the Courier-Journal, thank you so much for taking time out on a Saturday morning. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, John.
Thanks. Anytime.
Always good to talk to him.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. You know you got a good guest, and there's plenty to talk about when the interviews that are scheduled for 10 go to 10:40, and the interviews are scheduled for 11 go to 11:26. So we'll come back with more. Take your calls, 381-1313 on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Russillo and Canal.
UFC President Dana White.
What is your relationship like with Conor McGregor?
Listen, I love me some Conor McGregor. You have to show up for the press conference.
He and Floyd Mayweather have been having some fun, whispering about this potential matchup between each other. Do you think this could ever be a reality?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather are in the same sport. Look how long it took for those two to fight. It's impossible. But, like I said, man, Floyd, you want to fight Conor? Call me.
Russillo and Canal.
1-4 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Legends homestand wraps up tonight with fireworks after the game and a chance to take a picture with the Royals World Series trophy. Before the game, the World Series trophy will be at the ballpark and fans will have a chance to take pictures. Check out LexingtonLegends.com for tickets, promos, and all the stash-tastic fun you can catch at a Legends game.
Summer is finally here at Aurora. Get your backyard ready for family fun with a five-person hot tub starting at $36.95 or shop over 75 in-stock hot tubs available. Summer is here. Get your backyard ready for summer fun and hurry into Aurora today. Call 299-2932. Summer is finally here at Aurora. Complete your outdoor room with savings up to 60% off hundreds of in-stock patio collections from top-of-line brands. Plus, get 30% off select outdoor accessories. Summer is here. Get your backyard ready for summer fun and hurry into Aurora today. 299-2932.
Calling all military officials, firefighters, police officers, EMTs, and paramedics, both active and retired. Dixie Chopper is honoring our hometown heroes by offering a $250 mail-in rebate on any new Dixie Chopper lawnmower. All Dixie Choppers are proudly made in the USA, and we want to honor our hometown heroes across the nation. Visit Southern States in Georgetown, your locally owned farmer co-op since 1945, for the best selection of Dixie Chopper Mowers, Southern State.
It's a great day to eat barbecue. My favorite thing is the cowbell. Moo!
My favorite thing is the slow-cooked meat. Their vinegar slaw reminds me of my grandma's house in Birmingham.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is the atmosphere and food.
I love coming to City Barbecue because I love their fries.
Their pulled chicken is filled with flavor.
I love their turkey.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is all of the smoked meat.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is I always leave happier than when I got here.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, I wanted to play that whole bit from Coming to America, you know, the barbershop scene where they're talking about Muhammad Ali. You know, Cassius Clay was a bad man, you know, and now the language just does not allow it to be played on the radio. Mama called Clay, I'm gonna call him Clay. And by the way, if you don't know, ESPN2 showing his fights and showing everything Muhammad Ali all day today. So if you want to relive some of those moments or look back on moments you didn't know existed.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of those.
Yeah, this is a good opportunity to do that today. We got on the phone with us Gabe. Gabe, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey,
well,
Gabe.
Well, now you got...
Hey, Mary Jo.
No, yeah. You can't say boys and then not... I mean, Mary Jo's
in
here,
so... I've met Mary Jo before, so I think I'm one of the boys.
I'm one of the guys.
Yeah, that's right. I think that Chris Burke would be an outstanding choice. I was watching the SEC network when Kentucky had been eliminated from this election show.
Yeah.
He went out of his way to say eloquent things about Kentucky. He didn't say the same thing about Alabama, but he went out of his way. I could tell that he was lobbying for the job.
Already,
and,
yeah.
And I think the guy's got a tremendous background. He played at Tennessee.
Yeah.
He's from Louisville.
Yeah.
He played in the majors.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if he and Barnhart were at Tennessee together. I think they might have been.
Oh, let's think about that.
You know what? I didn't even think about that.
Well, I have to look. It's going to take me a minute to look that up.
Yeah,
look it up. See,
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
If there's a connection there, because I think that he's the first guy in my mind that I thought would have instant credibility with the recruits. Being the next major leaguer, and he's a well preserved guy. I mean, he knows his baseball. I've watched what he has to say. I've watched a lot of the games that he did, and he really knows his baseball. And I'm going to say one other thing: Zach Brown,
yeah,
who had a terrible season, 2-12.
Yeah,
if you remember back when AJ Reed was a junior,
mm-hmm.
he went 2-10, and then the next year
went 12-2.
12-2, exactly. Yeah. And I think with Brown, it's a matter of getting him to have a second pitch that can be an out pitch.
Yeah,
because he's got tremendous stuff, and if he does, he'll be the anchor for next year in that UK rotation.
Yeah.
So Barnhart left Tennessee in 98, and Burke's freshman year was 99.
Okay, so just missed him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to make a point about how Mitch Barnhart today, the way he is today as an athletic director, is he likes to make sure he gets to know the athletes.
Right.
Like he interacts with them. So I was going to make a point how maybe he would have interacted with Burke, but they didn't.
Still might have a connection there because, you know, if it's that close.
Yes, yeah, there definitely still may be.
Yeah.
He might have been recruited or something mm-hmm. you know, at that point. But,
and if you're building a new stadium, if that's the way you're going to go, if you're really going to get behind that and promote that a little bit, because Mitch Barnhart has at least said the goal is like 2018. Like I had a friend who went on that tour of Commonwealth Stadium that they mm-hmm. offered to season ticket holders a few mm-hmm. weeks ago. And at that thing, Barnhart said something like 8 months, you know, start construction.
Cost him two coaches already. I mean, it cost him Cohen, I believe.
Yes.
Because I think it was Cohen would have been here a long, long time if that stadium had been done when it was promised to him.
Well, I don't know about that. Mississippi State was tugging at his heart. I mean, that's his place. That's when that came open.
How far back you go, but when Mississippi State chose him, Ron Polk was the coach.
Yeah,
and Polk was promoting.
He was.
Promoting his own assistant.
Yeah, he wanted the other guy to get it.
Exactly.
It angered Polk that they went with Cohen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know, Cohen was an unpopular choice. Now I'm sure that's been forgotten because he won the SEC this year. But
it would have gave him something to think about if you would have said to him, Cohen, listen, stay here, we'll get you this.
Yes, yeah. I think that if that had happened. And I think with Gary Henderson, I think Henderson got tired of that also, waiting around.
Yeah.
Because I think a new stadium is important. But I've been to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's got no facilities. I mean, their stadium is adjacent to the stadium, to the football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absolute dump. And yet they get the most fabulous pitching of any school that I know of. They just year in, year out get these fireballers that throw the ball in the 90s and win with them. So I think it's got something to do with the personality of the coaches and how you handle people.
Yeah, I've heard that theory too a little bit. I mean, Gary is a different kind of guy. There's no doubt about it. His personality is a little different, and you don't see it. Like one of the contrasts or comparisons I think about, one of the comparisons is, remember Joker Phillips would get a bad rap for not being fiery enough, whereas Rich Brooks would, you know, just show some
light
of his emotion.
Yeah.
And people would knock Joker for that. Well, we need a coach to show some emotion, shows that he cares and not fiery. And Joker's thing was, I need to be the same guy at all times. And so Cohen was super fiery, and then here you have Gary who is not. And so when the results aren't necessarily what you really want them to be.
Well, as the alternative to Burke, I would like to maybe try to go after Goff because of his head coaching background. You know, and the fact that he coached here before.
So yeah.
That's another guy that would be a high possibility. Brad Bohannon has never been a head coach.
No.
And that worries me if he's the guy.
But he's the one who got all the recruits here. I mean, he's the one that's gotten these guys that have been able to.
Oh, yeah, I know that. And he finally got tired and went to Auburn. But,
yeah.
You know, it's one thing to be a guy who can get recruits, but it's another guy when they put on that main hat.
Yeah.
If he's going to remain, the personality is going to remain the same. So I think that if given a choice of head coach, you know, if go with the SEC guy first with the analyst who's been around the league, understands the league, and if can't get him, then go after a head coach that's already been there.
Yeah.
But anyway, good talking to you, and I just wanted to voice my opinion on it.
Hey, thanks, Gabe, so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Chris Burke would be the biggest splash of a hire. But without that, I do think you need someone who's got some experience.
That's a little risky. If you're going to go, like, here we go. Got a new stadium. We're just like football.
Yeah.
All right, the change there. All right, we're putting our resources behind it. Here we come. Mark, you know, help us sell this, and we're going to get it done. That's kind of the feeling I get that what's going to happen next for UK baseball is, all right, here we come. We need you to be out there selling it, and we need you to help us raise some money, and we're going to get it going. And in that regard, I think Chris Burke is a really good hire in that way. But not having the coaching experience and the SEC being your first job, because it's not
then,
about
then
coaching
the staff
baseball.
Becomes
it's
so much more important.
Yeah.
And I do think someone who doesn't have coaching experience, who lands their first job as a head coach in the SEC, I think Chris Burke would understand that.
Yeah.
Like, I, the staff that I put together needs to be experienced in this arena.
Because it's all the things you don't see and don't hear about that are the things that you need to have coaching experience for. Nothing to do with whether he can coach baseball. Nothing to do with that. It has to do with all those other things. And then Greg Goff, I think, also. And then one of these other guys that have been here, like Rick Eckstein. I mean, he was a former hitting coach for the Washington Nationals for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can connect to Bryce Harper, you know? He can use that. Hey, I was Bryce Harper's hitting coach. And he's so well-respected. I think Rick Eckstein is a good name to have.
Do you need to bring someone that's not already here, though?
Do you need to bring in someone who's not already here? That's a possibility because, I mean, this year, Gary Henderson's the pitching coach and the head coach. Pitching wasn't the problem. It was what was going on at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So then that, you know, if it's Rick Eckstein, then you could have a segment of the fan base going, hey, hitting was our problem.
Yeah.
Well, we're promoting the guy that was our problem, you know. But I think the more reasonable folks, the wiser minds, the people making the hire would know that Eckstein is a good coach. That wouldn't be a problem. But, yes, I think...
Look, Gary's a good coach.
Right. But I think at this point it does give you an opportunity to breathe new life.
Yes.
Someone who's not been here. And I think with a new stadium and all that, maybe you take that
approach. What happened with John Cohen.
Yeah.
It was new life into the program.
Yeah.
And it was a shot in the arm and instantly.
Yeah. I agree. All right, we'll still take your calls here on this and Muhammad Ali, of course, 381-1313. Be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody. Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit forthepeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan, for the people. Offices, Lexington.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Stick to the script.
At the Body Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, e-cigs, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Body Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Body Bay. 420 East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut. Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
I'm Frank X. Walker.
I'm Dr. Everett McCorvey.
I'm Louis Bickett.
We are Creative Lexington.
Creative Lexington is dedicated to sharing the stories of Lexington's creatives. Through snapshot bios, the Positive Change Lex Initiative, and other storytelling projects, Creative Lexington is investing in the things that make Lexington an amazing place to live, work, and create. See how to get involved at creativelexington.com.
Your new job is waiting. Wait, your new career is waiting. UK Dining has jobs available for experienced culinarians and food service professionals for a variety of cook, baker, and supervisor positions. Interviews will be held June 14th and 15th from 9 to 4 at 631 South Limestone, across from UK College of Law. Competitive earnings and benefits, medical, dental, and 401k for eligible positions. Call 859-218-4971 or uky.campusdish.com/careers for more information. A background check is required for these positions. UK Dining is an equal opportunity employer.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, this kind of reminds me of the UK hoop situation, Matthew Mitchell. When he was under fire and was answering questions, which he did for 45 minutes that one day, he said, hey, practice is open. You can come and watch anytime you want. It's always been open. If it fills up, we'll open up another area. We'll move it to Memorial Coliseum. It never has filled up because none of you have ever been that interested enough to come to practice. Well, we've talked for 45 minutes about UK baseball. And UK baseball has been a big topic. And guess what? Nobody goes to see the games. Florida series, I went out for that one. But I didn't go for any of the other ones. Early in the season, that's because no one wants to sit outside when it's drizzling rain and 40 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to do that. And you know the weather we have in March. So then, by the time it is warm enough,
they had been on that downward slide, and yeah.
Maybe you're not going. So I could see where maybe they're like, if you care so much, come to the game. Well, Willie's on the line. He wants to talk UK baseball. Willie, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Good morning, Willie.
Hey, I've got a name off right there, and it might sound off the wall, but if you really think about it, if they want to make a big splash,
yeah,
Pete Rose.
Oh, my goodness. Pete Rose.
That, do you think that'd be a big splash, Willie?
Yeah, I think that'd be a huge splash. That'd be a belly flop.
No, it'd be cannonball!
How old is Pete, though?
Well, he's old, but, I mean, it's not a lot of aerobics or calisthenics you do as a baseball player.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, they would automatically get credibility and have no trouble raising money, bring attention to the program. Yeah, it wouldn't be a long-term hire.
No, it couldn't be, yeah.
It would draw tremendous attention to the team. And, I mean, it's just one to throw out there. I like the Chris Burke suggestion, too, don't get me wrong. But
yeah.
Here's one that, I mean, that would be a bomb.
It would draw a lot of attention.
Yes.
There's no doubt. But Pete Rose is 75, and he has managed a major league team, but he hasn't managed a college team. So that's,
he knows the game.
He knows the game, but that's not.
Is he 75?
He's 75.
Wow.
That's not the issue, though. And, that, I mean, that's the same thing with Burke. It's just, it's all that other stuff that goes with it, like the fundraising and the schmoozing that you got to do and the recruiting trail and just all that other stuff, paperwork here and there and taking
– schmoozing and the fundraising he would be great at.
Yeah, that might be – yeah, that might be his greatest strength even. If he would sign autographs before every game, that would get fans to the stadium for sure.
Keelan is right here.
Yeah. He would have no trouble being able to make his wagers, yeah.
Yep. So just one shot out there.
Well, thank you. Thanks, you, Willie. Appreciate the call. Wouldn't that be crazy though?
I can't even imagine it.
It would be so polarizing that honestly, if you could convince Chris Burke to come and be on the staff for like a year or two with Pete Rose just to get it going, let Pete Rose take the heat for whatever doesn't go right, and then put Burke in there after he has had a year or two to see what it's like from the inside, from that perspective, and take over. That would never happen.
No, it would never happen. And I honestly, like, if it did happen in some sort of dream world, I feel like it would actually make Kentucky like a laughingstock.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It would not be seen nationally as serious.
Anything but a PR stunt.
Right. It would be, yeah. You would get your attention, though.
But then what if he turned out to be an amazing coach and was here till he was like 90 and then got into the College Baseball Hall of Fame?
That would be something. On that note, we'll take a break and be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called web.com. They built my website for free.
Wow, free? Really? Web.com?
Yep, and in just 7 days. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Hey, if web.com did it for you, they're perfect for me.
Web.com can build your website for free in as little as 7 days. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call now, 1-800-554-8809. That's 1-800-554-8809. 1-800-554-8809. Or go to web.com/radio.
There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
For a little Southern hospitality, it's Something Fun Jewelry and Gift Boutique, because every girl deserves something fun. Accessories and apparel, gifts for your home, plus gifts for tweens, baby, and special one-of-a-kind wedding gifts. At Something Fun, once you come in, you're family. We specialize in helping you find that perfect gift. Stop in for Something Fun. We're just off Richmond Road in Pageant Village behind Rite Aid in Lexington. And online at Something Fun. Lexington.com and like us on Facebook. Something Fun Jewelry and Gift Boutique, because every girl deserves something fun.
Lawn work doesn't have to be expensive or time consuming. Leave it to the professionals at Blue Ribbon Lawn Care. They mow every lawn like they're mowing for their mom, beautifully, with attention to detail. Here's what some Blue Ribbon Lawn Care satisfied customers have to say.
Very meticulous, and I've been really, really pleased with this work. I think that he is a maestro.
For all their services, visit BlueRibbonLex.com or call 275-1166.
Fantastic job.
Isn't your yard worth a blue ribbon?
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you, and the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I just tweeted this out. Somebody sent it to me at TheRealness3. But I saw this last night on this documentary I was, you know, trying to watch. I wouldn't able to stay up and watch the whole thing, but it was Sonny Liston and Muhammad Ali. When Muhammad Ali was coming up, he wanted to fight Liston. And he was trying to get a fight with Liston, and Liston was, I mean, because Ali wasn't ranked. You know, Liston was the champ.
Yes.
He's trying to get a fight with the champ. There was no Don King to set this up for him. He's doing it himself. So Muhammad Ali shows up, Cassius Clay at the time, shows up in a red and white bus that says Cassius Clay all along the side and says the most colorful fighter in the world or something like that on the side of the bus. And he's got a bullhorn out, and he is at Sonny Liston's house.
In this bus.
Yeah, yelling, "You're a bum. You're crazy.
I'm going to haunt you until you fight me. That's crazy.
And it shows Liston out in his bathrobe, just, you know, crazy. So then the next scene in this documentary that they show is Liston is at a Vegas casino shooting craps. And here is Muhammad Ali barking, standing next to the craps table, barking at
all sorts of people around.
Everybody around.
And a camera rolling.
And a camera rolling. Yes, incidentally. And he pulls out, Liston pulls out a gun and starts firing it towards Muhammad Ali, who's only like 3 feet away. And so Ali and his whole crew start running the other way.
People disperse because he's shooting a gun into a crowd.
But the camera's still there. And so Liston just kind of takes it and shoots it back and forth like it's blanks, guys. So what's he doing carrying a gun with blanks? To scare people, or was that a stunt because they had already agreed behind the scenes to do the fight?
Right. That may have been.
Early Don King day. Early stuff.
If you shoot a gun in a Vegas casino the way that video shows, because he went bam, 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 fired several rounds. Like,
yeah, the cops would have
been. He would have been taken down in 10 seconds.
Because this was the 60s, you know? Crazy. Yeah, that had to be a stunt. Somebody probably listening knows the real story on that. And we're just over here going, had to be a stunt. Of course it was a stunt, you idiots. It's already been told. We already know this.
Because that happened 40 years ago.
Yeah. But imagine that today.
Oh, no.
No
There's
chance.
A lot of things that I've watched on Ali that I can't imagine if they had happened today. The complete 24-hour coverage that it would get.
Yeah. Yeah, the
because you also have to put it into perspective of, like, and whatever he's saying or doing is also the top athlete in America. You know, it's not just that someone said it.
Yeah.
It's that Tom Brady's saying it or, you know,
well, you think about what Richard Sherman said after the Super Bowl and how much play that got.
Oh, yeah.
That was Ali all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time saying stuff like that. And then you think about Floyd Mayweather today. Team money. All that. Things he says.
Yes.
Well, he is. Well, he's got a history of domestic violence in his past.
A lengthy history.
Yeah. Ali has a history of love and kindness.
Humanitarianism.
And but at the time, what was in his story was draft dodging.
Yes.
Defiant. I mean, in the 60s anyway, at that time.
But there will just never be another icon like him.
No. We just won't see it. And people of Louisville, just, I guess, out today, out and about, out at the Ali Center.
Just, have you ever been there, by the way?
I have not.
Yeah, I haven't
either. No, I've been by it. I mean, I've seen it. I just have never been to it. But Louisville, I mean, has a different relationship with him than the rest of the world. I mean, he is theirs.
Well, and the Louisville mayor today said, Ali belongs to the world, but he only has one hometown.
Yeah. And he made sure that people knew that was his hometown. Yep. I mean, he treated Louisville.
It's not like he left and never came back.
Right. Of course, where he was hospitalized and died was in Scottsdale, Arizona. But he was...
He's coming back here, though.
Yeah. He will be buried in Louisville. It is... It's sad for...
It's a sad day.
Yeah, sad day for the world, but Louisville especially. And I encourage you to go out and look for the Courier-Journal today. I mean, and tomorrow, 24-page feature tomorrow. Yep. Yeah. One last thing to say before we go is I realized last night it kind of hit me that nobody is better in these moments than ESPN. If they get a full day on ESPN2, they had so many reactions from so many people yesterday. And if you haven't seen Jeremy Schapp's obituary piece.
Which he said, by the way, his father wrote most of.
Yeah.
Schapp. Yeah.
So you got to catch that. Thanks for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow. Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader will join us on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mike and Mike.
The Scripps National Spelling Bee. Like the old standby is just to give you a bunch of words and try and spell them.
What we're going to do is give you the word and you need to use...